We need to constantly walk in the Spirit. That's a part of our life, isn't it? Because we are Spirit. In fact, the Word tells us that when we die, the Spirit goes back to the Lord, doesn't it? Amen. And what He chooses to do with it is up to Him, right? Hopefully we're right with God and we'll know what's going to happen, right? So in that essence, you and I, because we're spirits and God is Spirit, we've come from Him, you know? And you and I have a instinct desire to be in God's presence. That's what our desire is. And most people don't understand that. You try to go up to someone in the world and say, yeah, you know, you're using drugs and alcohol and lost in a new and that. Man, what you're really looking for is the Lord. And they can't comprehend that that's who they're looking for, because they're looking for fulfillment. And it's constant fulfillment. In fact, the Word tells us that when the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, man, just start praising the Lord. You know? And why? Because you're actually coming out of the natural realm. And if you and I are spirits, we want to walk not in the natural realm, but walk in the spirit realm, even though that the Word tells us that we're walking the natural realm. But you and I want to have this communion with the Spirit of the Lord. We want to get into this place where it is no longer we that live, but Him that lives. If you've ever noticed when you're going through a struggle, whatever it may be, man, the devil's always trying to push you away from God. First thing he says, you can fix it. Next thing we know, we get freaky. We get on the phone, we're trying to fix this, we're trying to fix that, and we've gotten caught up in the flesh. And usually we get stress, anxiety, and in fear. And usually what happens, because the devil's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear, right? So what we want to do is immediately try to fix whatever it is because we have fear. That means he's hit us. He's pressed that button. And it could be subtle, but it's increasing. It's increasing. The flame's going up, and it's going up, except for it ain't the flame of the glory of God. Amen? So this is where you and I have got to begin to discern immediately to come out of that. So we want to talk about something in His presence, because there are things that happen in His presence. And God is, I want to share, like three-dimensional. There's a three-dimensional presence of God. Amen? And I want to talk about a couple of these things tonight. Because there should be a desire that you and I walk in another dimension with God Almighty. Amen. You and I cannot be complacent where we are. The moment you see, that's where the devil meets. You got to turn around and battle. Shake him off so you can keep going on the road. You know, the devil's a terrorist. Likes to put those road mines out there and stuff like that. While you're cruising with the Lord, bam, bam, something happens. Something, always tragedy, whatever it may be. You know, for some people, a tragedy could be losing their pen, you know. Some people's tragedies are at different levels than others. But praise God. Let's turn to John 14. John chapter 14. Would you read it with me, starting in verse 1? John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now understand something. He's not just talking about the eternal. He's talking about the present. Remember, God is three-dimensional. He was, He is, and He always will be. Has everybody gotten it? So there's things that He's speaking that we're not only were, but are and are going to be. Amen? So he's talking here, he's preparing a place for you as an individual. There is a specific place for you in his presence. A specific place. Okay, let's go further. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So it's his desire, isn't it? That we are walking with him. It's his desire. And where I go, you know the way. You know. Is everybody with me? Okay, verse 5. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you wouldn't have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So there's a place prepared for me and you where there is a relationship with the Father. I'm not going to talk about the Father much tonight. What I want to talk about is in his presence. Because there's something more that you and I have got to go for. There's a three-dimensional arena of his presence. Go to John 10. You know, if you think about this, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was preparing a place so that you and I can have a relationship with the Father in a specific place or a presence. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, would you read it with me? And Jesus said it again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now I want you to understand that the door represents the way. I am the way of the sheep. All who were ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Well, that's a place, isn't it? Because Jesus is saying, here's the way. What did he say? No one comes to the Father except for through me. Because he was the Father, wasn't he? Amen. So he is preparing a place where in his presence there is oneness, and a place in his presence where it's no longer you that live, but you and I that live, but he that lives in us. Hallelujah. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal. To kill. And to destroy. I have come that they may have what? That they may have it what? More abundant. Now this is powerful. Now I'm going to go back a little bit because Jesus says, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. There is a part where you and I come in and get into God's presence and through worship. Where the way is where you're doing it with your mouth. The truth is where you're doing it with your heart. And the life is where you do it with your spirit. There are no words. Amen? Again, the way is where you do it with your mouth. The truth is where you do it with your heart. And the life is where you do it with your spirit, where there's spirit to spirit. That's where you're taken out of the natural realm and you're brought into the spirit when everything around you is no longer there, but only you and him. Also, we know that the devil, the thief has come, right? He has come to steal the way, right? what's the next one?
Kill.
The truth, and to destroy life. So everybody got it? The way, the truth, and the life. There's so much on the way, the truth, and the life. I've got a bunch of teachings on way, truth, and life. Because there's so much. It's another dimension. A way is one dimension, the truth is another dimension, and a life is another dimension. And those are three areas of dimension that you and I have access to. And God wants to bring us to this one that's an eternal dimension. Okay? So he said, listen, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So what is he doing? He's already shared with us that he's prepared a place in his presence where you and I can have life and life more abundantly. The only reason why believers don't have life and life more abundantly because they're not getting into that specific presence. Amen. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
In this presence, it's no longer you that live, but him that lives, right? In this presence is where you hear, you see, and you receive. You hear, you see, and you receive. Those three things that happen in me and you in this other dimension, in this special presence that he's prepared for me and you. Remember, he came to steal the way, came to kill the truth, and he came to destroy the life. But there is a place for us in his presence. Go to Acts 17. Now, there's so many other things that we could teach him, but we want to be led by the Spirit, don't we?
Amen.
One of the things I really believe that the Lord is trying to do is bring us, get us thirsty and hunger to bring us so that we get to this other dimension because he's going to do something. There's a preparation, and many people are going to miss it, and many will grab hold of it. They'll get to this arena in this other dimension where they'll know that they know that they know. There won't be any questioning. There won't be any fear. There won't be struggle. There'll be rest and peace because this is where God carries you.
Amen.
Amen. This is where he carries you. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
When I say Acts 17? Oh, hallelujah. Let's start somewhere else here. In verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation. Right? Read it with me. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This is known as one dimension of the way. Has everybody got it? Watch. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. So this arena that he's talking about is a representation of the way. It's one dimension. You and I are in a dimension right now known as a living dimension, a presence. We live and have our being in Him, don't we? Amen? Everywhere you're, in fact, the whole universe is in the presence of God. That's one dimension in itself, isn't it? Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So this presence is known as the presence of creation. This presence is the presence of creation. This is where you and I, you know, we breathe on oxygen, don't we? This is a dimension where you and I live. This is known as the presence of creation. This is known as the way. In the tabernacle of God, we know that the way, truth, and life is the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Right? The way is what? The outer court. The truth is the holy place. And the most holy place is life. Life. And there's a presence where there's a difference between that life, because it's no longer that you are a part of creation, but that you begin to see creation. Does everybody understand that? There's a presence where God wants to bring me and you. Oh, hallelujah. So right now we're talking about the way, which is the presence where we, you and I live and have our being, where we are in God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. 7, please. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Read it with me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now we live and have our being in Him, right? So this dimension that we're talking about is known as the way, right? Now, in this area of the way, in this dimension, in this presence, this is where you and I are actually have borrowed life. You know, where we've actually borrowed life. God has granted us. He's lent us this life. Remember, nothing is ours, right? Because the Word says again, and the Spirit goes back to Him. This life that He created goes back to Him. All right? In His presence is held by creation is created in this arena, and His presence is holding it together. Has everybody got it? So this is known as the way. Everything is held by His presence, isn't it? Amen? Okay. Would you turn to Psalm 104? And in verse 30, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Verse 33, read it with me. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, while I have this life. Right? While I'm in this dimension, where I'm in the arena of this presence of creation, I'm going to praise Him. And we know that praise brings us to another dimension, doesn't it? Amen? So we see here, this is where that borrowed life is. Where you and I are sustained in His presence that we call oxygen. You know, everybody can move their hands, right? And you feel something. If nothing was there, you wouldn't feel it. The Word tells us the wind blows where it's going to blow, and we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. He's talking about the Spirit, isn't it? That's in this dimension. In fact, the Word tells us that the Spirit was hovering over the earth, wasn't He? For restoring it again. Because He was about to bring creation. He was about to bring life, known as the spirit of life. This is a whole other arena or a dimension. Now, we know that the spirit is brought forth, right? The three witnesses in heaven is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that moves, it brings, he's the channeler, he's the one that makes the connection, he's the communicator to the other dimension, doesn't he? And only the Spirit can actually bring you, because the Bible says no one comes to the Father unless he's drawn. But there's something that draws him, and that's our thirst and hunger. And what happens is we draw him, and he comes and takes us into another arena. Psalm 139. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
All right. This is a difficult teaching to express. You know, when you get in God's presence, it's like, here it is. Now, how do I express it? Psalm 139 and verse 7. What did David say? He said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. That's another dimension, isn't it?
Yes.
The light and darkness are both the same to you. That's a whole other arena. Where can I go from your presence? We serve a three-dimensional God, don't we? Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The best way that I can express God's presence is there is a temporary presence, which we know is the way, which is actually the natural realm. Okay, if you want to log that together. The temporary presence is known as the way, and it's a natural in the natural realm. And that's where we are known as servants. Let me repeat this again. There's the temporary presence, known as the way, is representation of the natural realm, and that's where you and I are servants. There's the self-imposed presence. In other words, that means that you must participate to get more of God's presence. And that's known as the truth. So it's a self-imposed presence, which is the truth, and it's a participation. Self-imposed presence, known as the truth, where you and I participate. This is where the word says, God is with you. And this is where you are known as friend. Does everybody understand that? Let me repeat this. The first one is the temporary presence, which is known as the way, which is a natural realm where you and I are known as servant. All right? There's the self-imposed presence known as the truth where you and I have to participate, do something to get more of God's presence, where we acknowledge that, where the word says God is with us, where God is with us, right? This is where we are known as friend. Because remember the word says, Jesus said, a servant doesn't know what the Father's doing. But when God is with you, you become his friend because you know what he's doing, don't you? There's another presence there, isn't there? Okay. And then there's the inherited presence where you and I have an inheritance because we are children of the Most High God. And in this presence, it's a surrendered presence, which is known as life, right? So it's an inherited presence, which is a representation of life, where you and I are surrendered. We are surrendered. And this is where we know that it's not God with us, but we're with God. Okay? We are with God. And in this area, we are known as sons or daughters. Do I need to repeat this? Okay, remember the way, truth, and life? The way is a temporary presence. It's known as the natural realm where we are known as servants. The truth is a self-imposed presence where we have to participate, where God is with us. We are known as friend. And then there's the inherited presence, which is the position of the way, truth, and life. Life, where that presence is inherited. It's where you and I have a surrendered, have totally surrendered life. We've surrendered the temporary presence, and we've entered into the eternal presence. And we are with Him, and we are known as sons. Now, this eternal presence begins with truth. Okay, so we have the way, truth, and life. Okay? Now, hold on. Okay. The way presence is in the natural, isn't it? That's where life is sustained. We're in creation. The truth is where God is with us, where we are His friends, where you and I are participating, getting more of God's presence. That's, in other words, you're beginning to now fellowship with the eternal presence, aren't you? Okay, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. Where you begin to fellowship with the eternal presence where God is with you. The life is that inherited presence that you and I are waiting for to get to, that we have a desire to get to, right? That eternal presence where God's not with us, but we're with Him.
Amen.
Amen. And in that arena, we are sons of God. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
That's a three... I know it's a little difficult. Like I said, it wasn't going to be easy to express. It's a three-dimensional presence of God, isn't it?
Amen.
So you and I are looking... We always want to have fellowship. In other words, the world is fellowshipping with the temporary presence. Amen? Even though it's a presence that God has used for creation. He said it Himself. It's temporary. Right? But there's another place where you and I begin to participate in getting God's presence where He's with us because of obedience. So we're beginning to fellowship and commune with the eternal presence. Right? Then there's another place that awaits us. It's not that God's with us, but we're with Him. That's the area where you see creation. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, you can get the tape, don't worry about it. Then you can explain it to me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, everything surrounds where Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. Everything surrounds that whole arena. It represents the first three feasts of the Lord. It represents the Old Testament, the Gospels, and the New Testament. Where Yah was a representation of the Old Testament, Jesus was a representation of the mediator between the Old and the New, because the New Testament or New Covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. Where it's life. Amen. There's just so much. That's why he went, that's why he was gone 3 days, wasn't he? To fulfill all three dimensions for me and you. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? Glory. Therefore we what?
Do not
lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? It's killing you. Glory to God. Everybody goes, man, you don't understand what I'm going through. Oh, praise God, you're dying. The only thing you're trying to do is fight to keep the flesh alive. Right? God is trying to bring us to another dimension.
Amen.
Jesus walked in all dimensions. In fact, he was the eternal presence that manifested, where people can actually talk to him, see him, touch him, be healed by that dimension, be healed by that presence. God sent that third dimensional presence into the first dimension so he can make a way. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what?
Temporary.
But the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
Wow. But he didn't say we couldn't see them. Because there's an arena in his presence where you're able to hear, to see, and receive.
Amen.
That's where we want to get to. So he just talked about the temporary presence, right? Amen. Glory to God. All of us are groaning, aren't we? We're all groaning within to get to that other presence, to get to that other dimension. We're groaning within. People get frustrated. You know, sometimes people cry out, oh, help me, Lord. Man, take me home. I'm tired of this. You just want to get it. You want to get to that other dimension. That's all. Amen. People who are out there and the spirit of suicide comes and convinces people to kill themselves. You know, those people are looking for relief, aren't they? You're looking at one to try to kill himself. Amen. I was looking for relief. It wasn't until the blood was finally flowing out of my body that I got rest. Thank God somebody came to rescue me. Hallelujah. Mark 1. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1. I'm living proof of resurrection life, that's for sure. So are we all, aren't we? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, our debt he paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. He just spoke about the whole three dimensions, didn't he? And that's all. See, but so many times the carnal mind likes to blind us from looking into the eternal arena. We get so caught up. Man, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drive? I'm going to pay my bills. All that temporary stuff. See, if the devil can prevent you from looking to the other place, that's where the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
See, if you don't know about it, and if you don't have a desire to know about it, you ain't getting there.
Amen.
You and I should have heaven on earth. That's what Jesus said. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's trying to bring the third dimension right here, isn't he?
Yeah. Thank you,
Jesus. Glory! So if I leave tonight, don't worry. Somebody just pick up the mic. It's no problem. Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Take me home! Is everybody... Not yet. More souls. In verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Ooh. See, there's preparation for this way, isn't there? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. What was he doing? He's preparing the way for the third dimension to come into the first. We know that Jesus is the what? Way, truth, and life. But first he had to prepare the way, didn't he? Oh, glory to God. Prepare the way. Go to verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, after the carnal was put in prison, Jesus was showing up at the scene. Some of our old men need to get put in prison. The next thing is our heads need to get cut off, right? Too much garbage up here. Too much worry. Yeah, I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, what about me? Oh, woe is me. Why does it only happen to me? Holy Ghost is talking to some people tonight. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. Once you get put in prison, Spirit shows up. What's he trying to do? He's trying to imprison the first dimension so the dimension, second dimension can show up. Has everybody got it? And what dimension is that? That's a second presence, isn't it? It's an increase in presence of God. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, the time is what? Fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. What? Repent and what? Believe in the gospel. Come out of the temporary. It's been fulfilled. Come out of the temporary. It's been fulfilled. Come into the eternal presence. Jesus was restoring the road to eternal glory where Adam and Eve had. See, Adam and Eve had the eternal presence. Do you know that? When God created Adam and Eve, they were created perfect. There was no flaws. Nothing. In fact, he set them in a place, didn't he, where he could have fellowship with them. He spoke to them face to face. They saw him. They knew him. They were being taught by him. Because they were created for an eternal purpose. They were to walk in the third dimension. They had glorified bodies. They didn't have blood. They didn't need it. Because if you'd have cut, they would have cut themselves, they'd have bled to death, wouldn't they? And there was no death. They glorified. After they fell, then the life of the flesh came in the blood, right? Genesis chapter 2. Paul got a taste of the third dimension. Saul, who became Paul. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now, I want you to understand that Adam was not planting flowers. He wasn't pulling weeds. And he wasn't cleaning poop after the animals. Hello? What was he doing? He was learning. He was tending. God was giving him tasks. One of the tasks was, name the animals. In the third dimension, I share with you, you see creation, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. You recognize creation. You see things being created. You're seeing things being birthed. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. You will lose my presence. Because this third dimensional presence is holy and true and pure. You will lose it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 20. Let's just keep going. And the Lord God said, it is done. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. That cracks me up every time. You know, the Lord God. Here's Adam. You got to remember something. Adam was male and female. He was made in the character of God. Not in genital things. He didn't need it. Everybody got it? Amen. He was male and female, representing father, mother, and God's character. So the Lord said, man, I want to give you a companion. Give you some friends. So what does he do? He creates animals. Do you ever notice that elderly people, when they get older, they get animals? Why? Because they're, I mean, man's best friend is a what? Animal. Amen? Unconditional love, don't they? Unconditional love. You don't have to feed it for a few days. You can leave it outside in the cold. You come home, it still wags its tail. It's happy to see you every time. Not that I do those type of things. Even when I had my Doberman with me and I was in a drug world and using drugs, she was my demon fighter. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Where am I? Am I there yet, Dad? And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to who? Adam. To see what he would call them. What was he doing? Why? Because he was tending. He was training them, wasn't he? Come on, Adam. What are you going to call them? I've given you my thoughts. You don't need a Webster dictionary to figure that out, Adam. You know all things. Because my third dimensional eternal presence is with you. And Adam called each living creature that was its name. Whatever he called. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. Now, he didn't name them by name, what you and I know. Okay? There's Joe the cattle, and there's Mary the sheep, and it wasn't anything like that. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Hallelujah. And he slept. Man, did he sleep. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." Now wait a minute. Here it says, a man shall leave his father and mother. Why? Because Adam... father and mother was God. And be joined to what? His wife. And they shall become one flesh. And they were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why? Because they were clothed with the glory of God. Amen. They didn't need any clothes. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now go to... Genesis 3, verse 6. And we know that Adam and Eve, they blew it, right? So remember, they're walking in the third dimension of God's eternal presence. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, she ate, and she also gave with her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were what? Open to what? Another realm. Another dimension. Called the temporary. See, they were walking in the third dimension, weren't they? Now they just got brought back all the way to the temporary dimension. So their eyes were open to that dimension and closed to the other one. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. They tried to cover themselves with another presence, their own created presence. They tried to cover themselves. Hello? I can do it. Let me fix it. Give me a leaf, honey. I can do it. Let me try and fix this again. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Lord God said, listen, man, you can't fix it. But I'm going to clothe you because I'm going to reinstate for you to be fruitful and multiply. I'm going to reinstate my covenant with you through blood. So God killed the first animal. Does everybody understand that? And he clothed them. What did he do then? He clothed them with his presence again, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. But it was still a temporary realm, wasn't it? Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. Didn't say like all of us. Like one of us. Oh, hallelujah. We know that they were one, though, weren't they? Amen? But he come like one of us, knowing what? Good and evil. Well, representation of the what? Word. Right? Isn't that representation of knowledge? Right? That's why the Word had to come into the earth. Because he became like one of us. So that exchange had to be done. Does everybody understand that? Because the Word represented knowledge, didn't it? It represented wisdom. It represented everything. That's how God expressed himself through the Word, didn't he? All right? So when the Lord said he's become like one of us is because he's now got knowledge of good and evil. So the Word had to come into the world to make the exchange for the good and evil for the knowledge of purity and truth. Does everybody understand that? How come we all look a little funny? All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Therefore the Lord God said, behold, a man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the eternal presence known as the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Now there's a different tilling. There's a different tending. So he removed him out of that eternal presence, didn't he? But he still lived 900 or whatever, 800 years or whatever. He still lived a long time. Big family reunions. Oh, hallelujah. He drove him out of the man and he placed a cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life, which was the eternal presence, wasn't it? Okay. So we see here, when Adam and Eve fell, go to verse 8 in chapter 3. When Adam and Eve fell, would you read that with me in verse 8? It says that they what? They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What were they doing? They were running from God's presence. Like I shared before, once the devil gets hold of you, the first thing he wants you to do is always run from the presence of God and keep you in a temporary, doesn't he? That's the first thing that Adam and Eve did, didn't they? Come on, let's get out of here. You might not know. They just lost everything, didn't they? Come on, they knew God was eternal. They knew him as Father. They knew that he knew everything and that he was everywhere. So we understand that even Adam and Eve are running from the presence of God, right? Let's go to Exodus, what, 33? Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 33. And verse 7. Now, is everybody all right? You with me? We don't want to leave anybody in the temporary. See, if you see somebody start to drift off in the temporary, just pinch him. In verse 7, Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was whenever Moses went out to the Tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the Tabernacle. Now, isn't it ironic that they were standing where? At the tent door. Yeah. You know, Moses was communicating with the third dimension. He didn't walk in the third dimension, but he was communicating with it, wasn't he? Oh, hallelujah. And it came to pass when Moses entered the Tabernacle that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the Tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. I love it. With about the door. Why? Jesus was the what? Door. And all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the Tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent. Door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his what? Friend. That's the truth, isn't it? He was called him a what? Friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, a son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." In other words, favor in my sight because of Moses' obedience, right? "Now therefore I pray, if I have found favor in your sight or grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will what?
Go with you.
Yeah. My presence will go with you. Why? Because he was what? Obedient. Hallelujah. Okay, where am I? "And I will what?
Give you rest.
No more struggle. No more fight. Just flow. Everybody got it? So we see that in God's presence there is rest, isn't there? Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." He knew that he couldn't do anything without God's presence. So many people are trying to do things without God's presence. And you know what happens? They fail. Only in God's presence do things last. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, the devil's trying to get you out of God's presence. Just like he did Adam and Eve. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate from your people. Your people and I, from all the people who are upon the what? Face it." Let me share something with you. In this presence, you're different. You're no longer human. Even though you have a human suit, you're no longer human. You're no longer a part of humanity. You're a part of eternity. Jesus was a part of eternity, even though he was walking on this side. Why? Because his thoughts, his ways, and his purposes were for an eternal purpose, weren't they? This is where God is trying to bring us. So we don't get caught up in this temporary. We want to get caught up in that third dimension. Oh, hallelujah. "So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know your name, know you by name. And he said, please show me your what? Your glory. Your glory. Now, the word glory here represents God's moral beauty and perfection of his character that is beyond human understanding. Like I shared with you that when Saul had an encounter with the third dimension, he became Paul. 10 years ago, I had an encounter with the third dimension. I was never the same. I can't write about it. I can't express to you what it was like when the cloud of glory took me. I can only tell you that when it happened, I didn't give a hoot about nobody or nothing. The only thing I wanted was home. But I knew home had come to me. And I met my Father for the first time. And when the cloud of glory lifted from me, I realized I'd been lied to my whole life. My whole life. I wasn't lied to on purpose. They just didn't know the truth. How can you express the third dimension? Paul said, I don't know whether I was in the spirit or out of the spirit, a man. He didn't even realize it was himself that was taken up to the third heaven or whatever, right? He was words that were expressed couldn't be understood because it wasn't about words. It was about glory. It was about glory. That's why I shared with you I was having a hard time trying to put something on paper that's eternal. How do you write about it? How do you express it? Because it's spirit. It's a difficult thing to touch. You must experience it. Amen? You must experience it. Same thing when people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then that's an experience of a third dimension that touches them. Isn't it? And they become a new creation. Hello? Why? They get to see creation, don't they? Oh, glory. And he said, and I'll make all my goodness pass before you in verse 19, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will to be gracious. And I will be, I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So he has the last say, doesn't he? But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. No man. Did Adam and Eve see him? Amen. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Whew. Glory. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. That's awaiting me and you. You know that, right? Maybe you're going to talk to your daddy face to face. Hallelujah. And you won't die. You'll be dead to self. Self will finally be out of here. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Oh, chapter 16, I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Is everybody understanding this tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, we want to see the third dimension manifest in the services. There was one man that hit over the third dimension that I read about, Smith Wigglesworth, where the third dimension manifested. Amen. That man used to get down on his knees and pray, and a cloud of glory used to show up in the house and float through, and people would get delivered, healed, limbs would grow back.
Amen.
We haven't seen that since, have we? We've seen clouds of glory occasionally. Yeah. But praise God, we want more. We want more of you, Daddy. More of you. We sing that song, Show Me Your Glory. Believe me, if His glory came down, we'd all die. Everybody goes, show me your glory, man. Everybody be... Somebody come into the house and say, man, they must have seen the glory of God. They're all dead. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from what? Day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. He's to be reverenced. For all the gods of the peoples are what?
Idols.
But the Lord made the heavens. He made it. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. All worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established, and it shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 95. In his presence is new creation. And verses 1 and 2, would you read it with me? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Is that a part of participation?
Amen.
Amen. Let us come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with what? With thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah. You can't go to God, try and get in God's presence and say, show me what you got. That don't work. First of all, you got to be thankful for what you have and not unthankful for what you don't have, because it's not yours anyway. Let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. That's one of the first things that like taps the Lord on his shoulder. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every day you need to start your day off in thank yous. Thank yous. Thank you. Not a cigarette and a cup of coffee or breakfast, but thank you. Hello? Not what do I got to do today, but a thank you. Let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Let us what? Shout joyfully to him with psalms. Now you don't want to wake your neighbors, huh? Right? But you can give them thanks and be joyful about it, right? So that's a part of participation, isn't it?
Amen.
You and I must start to begin to participate in this arena. Oh, hallelujah. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Now, in his presence, many things can happen, can't they? Go to Psalm 97. Ooh. Let's start at verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies around him. Praise God. When you're in God's presence, he ambushes your enemies, doesn't he? Cooks them. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees him what? Trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Believe me, your mountains will melt like wax. Those mountains represent your troubles. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Amen. So we see that our heart begins to melt, doesn't it? When we get in God's presence, that's where conviction can, that's where sometimes the Holy Spirit, because we're out there and he's going, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. I know what I'm doing. You're doing the wrong thing. That can't be God. Everything seems to be falling in place. You're doing the wrong thing. Everything seemed to fall in place for Elijah. Right? Even the angel of the Lord came and fed him for a 40-day cruise. He was on the wrong boat, though. Right? He finally had to go to sleep and woke up and God spoke to him. And when he got up, that still small voice said, what are you doing here? Well, I thought I was doing your will. Everything seemed to fall into place. But it wasn't his will, was it? Oh, hallelujah. Where'd I say to go? I didn't, did I? Keep making sure you're awake. In Psalm 91. He who dwells in the what? Secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in Him whom I will trust. In His presence, there's such a heart change that you can trust Him.
Amen.
And I can finally trust you. And there's protection in His presence. No plagues, no evil shall befall you. There's protection in His presence. But who's trying to get you out of that presence? Trying to keep you in that temporary presence where it's me, 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 I. Want, want, want. Have to have, have to have, have to have. Oh, in that presence. In Psalm 17. Praise God. In Psalm 17. Verses 1 and 2. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication, my sentence, my judgment, come from what?
Your presence.
Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. Sometimes we're not getting convicted until we get into that presence because we're not willing to receive. So judgment comes from that presence also, doesn't it?
Amen.
Judgment. Praise God. Go to Psalm 16 while we're here. In verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You shall not leave my soul in hell, thank God. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. The path of life is revealed in His presence. And your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Praise God. That's not a temporary presence, is it?
No.
No. That's an eternal presence. And Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And verses 1 through something. 4. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all, O Lord, my God, you are very... Oh, that's verse 4, 104. Hold on a second, I'll back up. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who what? Forgives all your iniquities. And what? Heals all your diseases. Who what? Redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's another presence, isn't it? That's where you and I want to walk into. Oh, hallelujah. Now, go to 2 Kings 18. Talk about this participation. 2 Kings 18. Oh, hallelujah. Second Kings 18. 1 through 7, I think it is. Yeah. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Azah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was what? Right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, he was obedient. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places. broke down sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nahshantan, something like that. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him. For he, what? Held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was what?
With him.
With him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and did not serve him. So what did he have? He had strength, didn't he? God protected him. What did he do? He cut down those pillars. Some of us still have some pillars in our life. Some of us still have idols and Isaacs in our life that God wants to get rid of. He's given you the power to do it. Some things we're still holding on to that we think God gave us. But now he's saying it's time to turn it over, or time to release it. Why? So he can bring you to another dimension of his presence. You know, when a scuba diver goes diving, right? As the deeper he goes, there's certain times when he's got to make, you know, he only has so much time because of the pressure on his body. And then on his way up, he's got to depressurize, doesn't he? So he doesn't get the bends or something happens seriously to him, right? And that's kind of like almost in different dimensions of God's presence. What has to happen is you and I have to wait for God. But there's a part that you and I must do. We must be obedient. Believe me, he'll draw you. As long as you're obedient. Because the word says, draw near to him, and he'll what?
Draw
near to you. But then there's that place where he begins to be with you, and you sense it, you know it. You become one heart and one mind with him. Where you actually know the thoughts of God before you even do anything. You don't have to wait on an answer from God. You already know it. Because you know what pleases him, and you know what displeases him. That's a whole other dimension, isn't it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 27. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get in God's presence. You don't have to go to temporary or whatever, college and stuff like that, you know. Cemetery school and all that other stuff, right? Seminary school, that's it. Hallelujah. And verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame the wise. You foolish? You were. Now you're wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Man, we were despised at one time. My neighbors used to hate me. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That what? No flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, man. Hi, I'm your humble servant. Down flesh. I am your beloved humble servant. Down flesh. But Lord, what have I done? I deserve this. I worked hard for it. Down flesh. Oh, hallelujah. No flesh shall glory in his presence. You want to sense the God's presence leave from you? Start boasting about you. Three eyes and he's out. Second Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What veil? The scales that were put on. Remember, when Adam and Eve fell, what happened? Their eyes opened. In true reality, their eyes shut. But when one comes to the Lord, remember, that's that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Those scales come off. Because remember, Saul accepted the Lord, didn't he? And the Lord visited Ananias and said, go lay hands on him and baptize him in the Holy Ghost. That's when the scales came off, didn't they? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that begins to take those scales off. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, doesn't it? You just accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That was the way. But then there was part two. New creation. Hallelujah. That new creation allowed you to get in the third dimension and have fellowship with the third dimension. It's His choosing, though, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty or freedom. In His presence, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from what? Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what happened to Jonah, right? When he booked, he was running from God's presence. Ooh, Daddy didn't let him go. God revealed His glory to him. Right? God revealed things to Jonah. He tried to take a first flight out. It was grounded. Right? I mean, the Lord shook the earth. Shook Jonah right out of the boat. Fell out of the boat. Fell into a whale's mouth. And the Lord said, see, he went from one boat. He became the first deep sea diver. Did you know that? Praise God. Jonah probably left the plans for the first submarine to be built. You know, who knows? And then, what did he do? He brought him back on the land. And he was obedient. Sometimes God is shaking your life. Sometimes He's shaking things. For you to stop running from that presence. And that's not the temporary presence. To stop running from the eternal presence. Remember, His love for me and you is greater than you and I can imagine and comprehend. He'll do everything He can to get you back into the eternal presence. Go to Revelation 20. Oh, hallelujah. I got a lot more, but I think we got it. Revelation 20. Actually, there's one other place I want to go to. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 20. And verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or His image, and had not received His mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what?
1,000 years.
Yes. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's the third dimension. See, when you begin to reign in that third dimension, you got to have another body. Because it won't make it. Amen? It won't make it. Go to Acts chapter 3. Keep your hand over here in Revelation, though. Acts chapter 3. And verse 18. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There is refreshing in His presence. Amen. So whatever the Holy Spirit may be convicting of you tonight, convicting you in any way, repent and get refreshed. Right? And I want to close in Revelation 22. This one's just for me and you. Glory. And verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly.
Amen.
Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard, I saw and I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. Hallelujah. And of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life or the third dimension of his presence, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life, which is the third dimension. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, help us and bring us to that place where we are in fellowship with the third dimension, with your glory and with your presence, Father. Lord, you said you wouldn't hold anything back from us. But we ask, Lord, that you begin to bring us to that place and impart in us a thirst and a hunger and a desire and willingness to get to the other dimension of your presence, that we may know and behold your glory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,